Morning, today's daf in Shkolim is daf Yud. We're back on daf Tes. Actually, we're on the very bottom of Ches Amud Beis, and we are continuing from where we left off yesterday. We talked yesterday about Shiurim. We talked about amounts. The Gemara got into a discussion regarding the Shiur of Dalakosos, and once we were speaking about Dalakosos, the Gemara spoke extensively yesterday about Dalakosos, and not just Shiur, not just amounts of Dalakosos, but the Gemara then spoke extensively about other aspects of Dalakosos as well. A lot of the Gemaras that we went through yesterday in Ches Amud Beis overlapped with the Gemaras that we learned together in Arvei Pesachim. And now the Gemara is going to finish off the discussion of Shiurim. So today we're going to hopefully do Daf Tes, Mirza Hashem. I know we're behind. We're going to do Daf Tes today. We're going to finish off the discussion of Shiurim. We're going to go through the Braisa of... that's later. Okay, let's just work on that right now, and then we'll... I'll introduce the next topic in a moment. We are in the very, very bottom of Ches Amud Beis, and we're continuing with the Shir of a Revius. Remember yesterday we finished off with a discussion about people who looked good, who looked radiant, and the Gemara explanation of their radiance is based on the fact that they were engaged in the study of Torah. And they fell upon new Torah. Actually, to be more accurate, they fell upon old Torah. But in other words, so the learning of Torah radiates a person. Okay, we saw this by Rabbi Yochanan. Good. Chada Tashmata. Amalei. Okay, fine. Am Rabbi Chanin. Okay, there we are. Okay, four lines from the very bottom of the Amud. An Chesam and Beis. Am Rabbi Chanin. Lugadar Raisa. You want the log? You want to know how much a log is? Again. The cup of wine for Kiddush, a cup of wine for Dalakosos, is a revius a log. It's a quarter of a log. So how much is a log? A log of Daraisa. Tamnusa Atika de Marisa de Sipari. So it's the old Tamnusa, right? So some sort of measuring cup that was used for fish fat. Okay, the brine that comes out of the fish, and it was used up in Sipari. Amar Avyun of a Chachmana, La de Beis Rebbe Yanai, Hama Mechilim Badvash. I remember that the one that was used in Rabbi Yana, they used for honey, not for fish brine. Either way. Tini will enter a brisa, chatsi shminis taverna hayishana. So another brisa, again, gives us another type of quote-unquote contemporary measuring cup that was used to measure either a revis, in this case it's a revis. So he says, chatsi shminis tavernis, a half of an eighth, meaning a sixteenth of the tavernis. So that was that's another way of measuring the revius. I'm Rav Yochanan Hadein Didan. So Rav Yochanan says, it's same, right? In other words, we still have this measuring cup this very day. Which the Gemara says, Velama Kari Le'atika. So the question is, if you look at the very bottom of the previous Amud, it was referred to as the old Shminis cup. Sorry, the old Tavarnis cup. So why is it Rabbi Yochanan saying that nowadays it's the same thing? So the Gemara says, "V'lama kare le'atika min begein d'have biyume." The Gemara says, "Okay, the truth of the matter is that yes, it's contemporary." The Easter army d'have is year of Ravsa. So one version is that originally it was a little bit smaller, it got larger over the time, and the Easter army d'zir v'lo zir kama d'have. Or some say that it was small, but not as small as it once upon a time was. Either way, it went through a small modification, and that's why we're referencing the old one, not the new one, so to say, or the contemporary one. Kam Yeshua Shal Kos, the Gemara continues now. Can we give a linear definition of the revius? Now, again, the revius is a volume. So how do you take a linear measurement of a volume? It's very easy. You take a cube, and you figure out the cubic measurement of the volume. So the Gemara says, "Kamu shir shokos, Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Yosi ben Pazdi, Rabbi Yosi barbi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim al rom, etzba'al mechsam, v'shlish etzba. 2 by 2 with a height of 1.5 and a third of an etzba." Okay, so in other words, the Gemara gives a cubic measurement of the volume of revius. If I'm not mistaken, the Bavli gave us the exact same shear in terms of what is the measurement of a revius. Okay. Continuing, Yavish Kizayis, Divrei Rabbi Nasan. So what if it congeals? Okay, so in other words, we're taking a liquid measurement and we're allowing it to congeal. What's going to be the shear of the revius liquid that congeals into a solid? So the Gemara says Kizayis. It's going to turn into a Kizayis. So basically, look, I mean, it's what we know. meaning that generally speaking, when it comes to shir achila, so the shir achila is a kezias. When it comes to shir of shtia, of drinking, it's a revis. So basically, good. If I take a revis of wine and I allow it to congeal, so it becomes now a doesn't sound that pleasant, doesn't sound that edible, but it becomes now a hard piece of
carrying, you know.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely, agree. So the shear is going to be the shear of a kezias now, right? Phil's correct. Meaning, in other words, why do we care? Meaning, what difference does it make to us now that we know that once it congeals, it turns into a kezias? So Phil points out, he's absolutely correct. It has to do with Shabbos. Meaning, we know that on Shabbos, in order to be chayv on the malach of otzah, you need to carry a shear. So when the wine's in liquid form, so how much is that? It's a revius. When the wine congeals and turns into a solid, it's a kezias. Good. Rabban de Kesar, Rav Yossi, Bar Bibi, B'Shem Shmuel, Asya, de Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara points out that this sheet of Rabbi Nasan vis-a-vis Shabbos is also in line with Rabbi Shimon. Kemad Rabbi Shimon Amar B'Revius, Kein Amar Rabbi Nasan B'Revius. So just like Rabbi Shimon says that a revius turns into a kezias, so too Rabbi Nasan says a revius turns into a kezias. Lekishi karish vehebo kezias. That when it congeals, it turns into a kezias. Okay. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Maisa b'predas Rabbi Shemesa v'tiaru as dama mishim nevela. Okay, now, just a little bit of background before we start with this next Gemara over here. Again, we're going to be speaking about this idea of liquids converting into solids and what the shear is and so forth and so on. But just as a quick introduction to the upcoming Gemara, here's what we know. We know that if you have an animal that did not go through the shechita process, so the animal, the dead carcass, is what's called a nevela. Nevela, aside from the fact that you can't eat it, also gives off tumah, meaning that the shechita of an animal accomplishes two things. If it's a kosher animal, so then what it does, it accomplishes, is that it makes the animal ra'la achila. Now you're allowed to eat it. But additional to that, is also it prevents it from becoming a nevela. Meaning so that a kosher animal that undergoes shechita will also, A, we're allowed to eat it, and B, not be a nevela. Fine. When it comes to a non-kosher species of animal, like a mule, which we're going to be talking about in a moment, so there's no shechita by a mule. Meaning you can't shech the mule. You could do the physical act of shechita by a mule, but it's not going to change the status of the mule. The mule is going to be a mule. Therefore, once the mule dies, the mule is going to be a nevela. Regardless of whether you shecht or you don't shecht, it doesn't matter. Now, when an animal is a nevela, what does that mean? It means that the animal is going to give off tumah. All of the animals going to give off tumah? No. Only the basar, only the flesh of the animal, the meat of the animal is going to give off tumah. The bones of the animal don't give off tumah. Sinews don't give off tumah. It's only basar, nevela is going to give off tumah. This is all daraisa. Everything I'm describing right now is the din daraisa. And so now basically the question on the table is as follows. So you know that the flesh is basically muscle, meaning muscle of a nevela is going to give off tumah. What about blood? So blood's not flesh. That we understand. Blood is a liquid running through the body. But what if the blood congeals? The congealed blood of a dead animal, does that have nevela status? Is that going to give off tumah? Just one other introductory point. Nevela, how does it transmit tumah? It's 1 degree greater than sherets. Sherets only transmits tumah b'maga, by touching the sherets. When it comes to nevela, nevela transmits tumah either by maga or by masa, touching the nevela or carrying the nevela. Okay, so the question on the table is as follows. The blood of a dead animal, if it congeals, is it going to give off tumah? So this is the question on the table right now. This is what the Gemara is dealing with. So let's go back to the Gemara inside. We're on Tes Amud Aleph. We're towards the top. We're about 10 lines from the top, 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Maisa b'predis Rabbi. There was an incident with the mule of Rabbi. Shemesa, the animal died. V'tiaruz dama mishem nevela. And they said regarding the blood, don't worry, the blood is not subject to the nevela laws. Meaning that the blood is not going to be a source of tumah. V'shal Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Simon ad kama. Now, we're not talking about the blood in its liquid state because that's the given. What we're talking about is the blood once it congeals. So the Gemara says, V'shal Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Simon ad kama. So Rabbi Eliezer asked Rabbi Simon and said, up until what point? V'la ashkach bay. And Rabbi Simon ignored him. In other words, question was asked, he got ignored. Vishala Rav Yoshua Melevi Amale Ad Revius Tar Yosim Revius Tame. Up to a Revius is Tahor, but greater than a Revius is going to be Tame. Why? Because a Revius of blood can convert into a Kezias once it congeals. And so therefore, a Revius blood, a Revius Dam, now because it can become a Kezias of congealed blood, so therefore now it has Nevela status, because it's now deemed, it's now considered like the flesh of an animal. Now, Rabbi Lazar, remember Rabbi Lazar asked Rabbi Simon ignored him. Then he asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gave him a straight answer. Ubashla Rabbi Lazar adalo chazale Rabbi Simon shmuata. And Rabbi Lazar was upset with Rabbi Simon because Rabbi Simon didn't give him an answer. Rabbi Bibi Yasvev Masne Hadin Uvda. So Rabbi Bibi was sitting her down and he was going over the incident. Amalei Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Kahana Ad Revius Tar Yosemi Kantame. So he says, up until Revius, the blood is Tahor, but greater than a Revius, the blood is now going to be Tame. In other words, it's at that point in time going to be considered Nevela. Uba'at Bey. And he got kicked. So Amalei Rabbi Zera began to Shalach Ad Bad Bey. I don't understand. All I'm doing is asking you a question. Is that bother you? Meaning, your reaction to me asking you a question is that you kicked me? Amalei began to lo have a dati be bayina be. Gemara gives us such an important lesson to really inculcate into ourselves, and that is the following. Sometimes some people respond to you in an inappropriate fashion, right? Over here, a question was asked, he kicked him, right? The one who was asked the question. And it has nothing to do with the question that was being asked, nor the person that was asking the question. It just happens to be that the guy was just in a bad mood. And the Gemara says it's exactly how this is described over here. Begin to lo have a dati be beaten a bay. No, it's just simply because I didn't have my wits about me. I was just in a bad mood, that's why I kicked you. So the Amar Rabbi Hanan, and he goes on to explain why he's in such a bad mood. This is Pesukim from the Tochacha. The Torah gives us Tochacha twice, once at the end of Sefer Vayikra, one at the end of Sefer Devarim. This is the one at the end of Sefer Devarim. This is Kisavo. This is the unending Tochacha. So the Gemara said, the Gemara quotes the Pesuk, your life is going to be suspended. This is talking about somebody who buys wheat annually, meaning he doesn't have storage houses of wheat. He only has wheat for 1 year. Already that puts them at a mental disadvantage. In other words, without the comfort and knowledge of knowing that you're going to have wheat for years to come. Laila v'yom zelokech min hasidki Right, Laila v'yomam, the continuation of the sighting of the pasuk. This is someone who buys wheat from the sitki. Now, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but it means that you have wheat for less than a year. So, in other words, smaller supplies of wheat, again, really puts you in a bad mental state. Let's say you have to go to the baker every day to get your food. Forget about it. Meaning, so now you're living day to day, and you bought bread for today, but you're not really sure what's happening tomorrow. Even a more fragile mental state. And he goes on to explain, that's me. That's a description of me. I buy bread today, but I'm not really sure what's coming tomorrow. So now Rav Yoshua ben Petura disagrees, meaning fundamentally disagrees. He says, no, the blood of a nevela is tahor, never subject to tumah. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what he meant was tahor just simply means it's not one of the machshirin. We know that for any food to become tamei, it first has to come into contact with a liquid. One of the seven liquids is blood. Maybe the only thing he meant was is that the blood of a nevela is not a machshir. Maybe that's what he meant. Aval tamos metamei, but maybe as a source of tumah, maybe it is a source of tumah. So Taman Tanina and the Gemara says, well, let's quote a Mishnah together. Damasharetz kibisaro umetamei. The blood of a sheretz, meaning, so now we're talking about a sheretz, as I pointed out a moment ago, a couple of minutes ago, the sheretz also transmits tumah. Only 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah, Parsha Shmini. So of those 8 shratzim, so once they're dead, they give off tumah, And when it comes to a sheretz, there's no distinction between the meat of the sheretz and the blood of the sheretz. It's all the same. So you touch the blood of a sheretz and you're going to become tamei. So the dam sheretz kibistaro matamei vein machshir. The blood of the sheretz is not a machshir. Ve'ein lanu kayote bo. And the critical line for us is how the Mishnah ends. That Mishnah ends by saying, and this is an anomaly. We don't have this by any other creature, where the blood is A, going to be like the meat, and B, not going to be a machshir. V'shir tamaso shadama matami kibisaro. And by the way, what's the shir? We know that the sheretz, how much sheretz do you need to touch in order to become tamei? The size of an adasha, the size of a lentil. So the same thing is true regarding the blood. The blood of the sheretz has the same status as the sheretz, and therefore you touch an adasha, you're going to become tamei. So the v'shir tumasa shadama matami kibisaro. I'm Rav Yossi, pliga batrein, I'm Ryan, chanam atame v'chanam atahor. So the, once again now, going back to the blood of a nevela. Does it have nevela status? So the Gemara says it's a machlokas amarayim. So mandamar tamei k'Rav Yehuda, the one who says that's tamei is holding like Rav Yehuda, mandamar tarah k'Rav Yeshua ben Petara, and the one that says that's tarah is following like the position of Rav Yehuda ben Petara. So in other words, basically, blood of a nevela, does it give off tuma? Machlokas tanayim, machlokas amarayim. So the Gemara points out, look, Rabbi Yehuda is consistent because Rabbi Yehuda was the posek of Bein Nasiya. Bein Nasiya means the house of the Nasi, the house of the leadership of the Jewish people. Who is the leader of the Jewish people? Rabbi. Go back to Rabbi, what do we know regarding Rabbi? We saw towards the top of the Amud, Rabbi had a mule, the mule died. What do they say regarding the blood of the mule? It gives off Tumas Nevela. Once I have a revius of blood, and a revius of blood that congeals can turn into a kezias, so therefore it's going to give off Tumas Nevela. So now when Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing with Rabbi, you understand, Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda are basically, I'm going to be on the same page. So that's the, so the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda conforms to the ruling of Rabbi. Makes sense, says the Gemara. Okay, and all this takes us now to the end of Shir talk. We are done with the Shir talk here in this discussion. So quickly to recap, the Gemara went on to discuss the Shir of Revius, got us into the Dal Kostos, and then the Gemara segued into a discussion of Revius. What happens if the liquid congeals? It turns into a kezias. And then the Gemara says, okay, as long as we were discussing revius becoming a kezias, what if I have revius blood of a nevela? Does that have the same status as kezias basa nevela? And the Gemara basically says it's a machlokas, leaving us off with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the Tana, who both say that a revius dam of nevela is tamei. And Rav Yehoshua ben Besara saying, no, that a revius dam of a nevela is tahor. Okay, quick summary of that which we did. Tana Rabbi Yishmael Shamayah Nevi Yamra. Okay, remember what we learned back in the Mishnah. We're talking now about the withdrawal from the Trumas Alishka. So you'd have one of the Gizbarim, one of the treasurers going in. And the Gemara says, what's super important is that not only does he not steal, okay, that's a given. But not only does he not steal, but he does not give off the appearance of stealing as well. So it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to even appear that you stole. Therefore, the Mishnah told us that when the treasurer goes into the Lishka, into the chamber, he cannot go in with cuffs, with tefillin, with any place where he could hide the money. He's, God forbid, he's not going to do that. He's not going to steal, he's not going to hide the money. But just even the appearance that he's going to do something inappropriate in of itself is wrong. And so the Gemara says he has to make sure that he is naki me Hashem u me Adam. He's clean both from the perception of God and from the perception of others as well. Right, correct. No, right. They're clothing. I think pockets is a more. It seems to be a more modern phenomena. Tini Rabbi Yishmael kavatz v'lo yitro mimnei achshad. They had like money belts. Right. That's how they carry things around. Tini Rabbi Yishmael kavatz lo yitro mimnei achshad. Let's say you have long hair. Okay, so no good. No good because you could hide the money in your long hair. Tini agizbar ma yimefasusin bekilkalin. They would comb out as you walked out. They would comb out your wool, meaning you had wool clothing. I guess I'm not really sure how to describe this, basically because I don't know what it looks like. But they would comb out your wool clothing to make sure that you weren't hiding any money in there. They would make sure to continue conversation with him as he walked in and as he walked out. Why? For fear that maybe he put a coin in his pocket, in his mouth. Okay? Maya. The Gemara says, why don't you do the following? Why don't you have him have a drink of water when he goes in, and as he comes out, have him spit out the water. You now know that he didn't take the, he couldn't take the money and put it in his mouth. The Gemara says, just give me a moment. Amar Rabbi Tanchuma Mimnei Abracha. Interesting. The Gemara says, you know why? Because when he goes in, he's about to perform a mitzvah. The mitzvah is called Trumas Halishka. And the Gemara says, once you do a mitzvah, you, generally speaking, there's a bracha. So he's going to have to go in there and he's going to have to make a bracha. To fill his mouth with water will be impossible because, try this at home. It's not going to work, I promise. You can't make a bracha when your mouth is filled with water. Okay, so that's why the filling of the mouth with the water is not going to help.
My son works at the Seminole Casino.
Yeah.
And they have no pockets on it. Can't take it.
Right. Okay, then that's, and okay. Understood. Right. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonatan b'Torah v'Nevi'im v'Ksuvim Matzino Shadam Sarech Latzei Sidei Abrios Kedach Shu Sarech Latzei Sidei Amakom. You will find this concept of being above reproach, even just the perception of doing something wrong is wrong, so that you're going to find this idea in Torah, in Nevi'im, in Ksuvim. The Gemara quotes Pesukim b'Torah. So you find in the Torah. So v'Yisrael hu yada. In other words, you have to be known both by Hashem and by people. And you are found favor in the eyes of Hashem and people. Gamliel zuga shala Rabbi Yusuf ben Rabbon izu hamechuvah shebekulam. Gemara asks a funny question, a strange question, an interesting one. Given the choices of these three psukim, which one's the best? Which one most clearly articulates this idea that you have to be above reproach, that you can't even be perceived as doing something wrong? So the Gemara says, Amalei v'isam nikim Hashem amisrael. And as strange as the question it is, he gives a very straightforward answer. The pasuk from Chumash, that's the clearest, that indicates that there's this idea that you have to be above reproach. You can't even be perceived as doing something wrong. Next Mishnah, we are on the bottom of Tesamad Alf. We're continuing. Shabbos Ramin Gamla Haya Nechnas V'shaklo Benetz Basav V'zarklo V'nei Atorim V'atorim Mitzkaven V'dachvo L'toch HaKupa. We have seen this Mishnah before, but not in its Mishnah form. The Gemara quoted this Mishnah earlier. The Mishnah over here describes the practice of Ramin Gamliel. Now, it says the house of Ramin Gamliel, so I'm not sure if it's Ramin Gamliel himself or representative Ramin Gamliel. Unclear, but it sounds like Rabbi Gamliel himself, but basically here's what he would do. He would stand by the doorway of the truma, of the lishka. Now remember, what would happen is that you had a room full of money, and only a fraction of the money would be taken off. The truma, right? A withdrawal was made. Now once a withdrawal was made, that fulfills the mitzvah, meaning at that point in time, now the money that's collected in the buckets, remember, three buckets, each bucket was made up of three sa'ah, three buckets would go ahead and withdraw from the lishka. And once you do that, the mitzvah has been performed. Now, as I explained before, but let's say this again. The money that wasn't collected into the buckets, the contributor of that money, has he fulfilled his mitzvah of contributing to the Beis HaMikdash? Absolutely. 100%. Even though he wasn't lucky enough where the money made it into the bucket, doesn't matter. Meaning the mitzvah is to take the money and to contribute it. Once contributed, you fulfilled your mitzvah. So there's the person whose money made it into the bucket is no better nor no worse than the person whose money didn't make it into the bucket. Fine. That's a fact. So to which now the Mishnah tells us, say, practice by Rabbi Gamliel, which is, even though what I said is correct and true, Rabbi Gamliel wanted to know that his money is going to make it into the bucket. He wanted his money to go towards the purchasing of a carbon. So what would he do? So the Mishnah described, he would stand there at the point of Truma, his coin, his machatz is a shekel in his hand, he would, as the Truma was being done, flip it in the direction of the Toreim, the one who was doing the withdrawal with the bucket, and the one who was doing the withdrawal with the bucket, the tarim, was in on the act, he then made sure that the coin went into the bucket. Okay. The Gemara is going to ask, as we get to the Gemara in the Amud Beis is, what's the point? Meaning, he doesn't have a halachic edge over anybody else. So what was the point of all that? The Gemara is going to ask that question. Stay tuned. We're going to come back to this. Back to the Mishnah. In Omrim Lo Terom. Sorry. I skipped a line. In a Torim Torim Ashu Omer Lahem Etrom. Vehein Omrim Lo Terom Terom Terom. There's a process. The process is that before he actually does the withdrawal, so he asks, can I do it? And they say, do it, do it, do it. Terom, terom, terom. Shalosh pa'amim. And the Mishnah, with making sure that we understand that, their instruction to them was to say, they said it three times. Why three times? So as we pointed out before, because in this Trumas Halishka, we wanted there to be transparency, and we wanted there to be publicity. So, in this question and answer that was done between the Torim and the people standing outside, the treasurer standing outside, so that with this little dialogue and with the instruction repeated three times, so there would be more transparency, more publicity, and the Gemara says that's exactly what we wanted. Torim is so Rishon, and by the way, just as a simple practical lesson we can learn from all this, obviously, is that when dealing with public money, I mean, I know the we could point to so many failures of the people taking care of public monies, but when dealing with public monies, so there has to be extra levels of transparency and publicity, and so you see that in the Mishnah, meaning it's rather remarkable. Meaning we're learning a Mishnah and just the simple ideas which we're as a human race we're not good at. But just their understanding of the need to be transparent and public when it comes to public monies, it's great. So anyway, Tarim Eser Rishon V'chiba B'katav V'li'os. So here's the story. Remember, three times a year they would do this Truma Salishka, right? That's what we spoke about in the previous Mishnah. Now, after the Truma was done, you had obviously still a room full of coins. What do? We laid a mat on top of it. Because now, once they do the Truma, what's the status of these coins that are left over? Well, we'll give it a name. They're called Shayarei Halishka, the leftover of the Lishka, and they're Nitram, meaning we've taken Truma off of these coins. These coins now are literally taken care of. So what's going to happen now is that we're going to lay a mat on top of it, and new coins are going to be coming in. Because remember, the coins are not all come in the first day of Nisan. The coins came in staggered over the course of the year. So once we lay the mat on top and we allow new coins to come on, the next time we'll be doing a Truma, we'll be doing it over the next shipment, the next investment of coins that are going to be coming in. And the Mishnah says, and we're going to go through the same process. So, Hashniyah v'chipa b'katav li'os, Hashlisha lo yemechapeh. So after doing the Truma over the second layer, we're going to put now another mat on top of that, allow the third shipment of coins to come in, and then after that, we're going to take off Truma. We don't have to put a layer on top of the third because there's not going to be any more Truma over the third.
What do you do with the rest of all those coins?
Excellent question. Mishnah is going to deal with that. V'lami yamachapesh ame yishkach v'yishrom en adavar atarum. Okay, and the Mishnah says exactly what we just described. The reason why is because once you are nitram, you fulfilled your mitzvah, they're now status-wise Shayare Halishka, and so therefore I only want to do Truma over new coins that come in. Tarmis Rishana L'shem Eretz Yisrael, V'yashnei L'shem Krachim U'Kafim, La V'ashish L'shem Baba, L'shem Madai, U'L'shem Medinos HaRechokos. And the Gemara says that the first Truma is for geographically the Jews living proximate to Yerushalayim. The second Truma was geographically done for Jews living Krachim HaMukafim, right, walled cities well outside of Yerushalayim. And finally, the third Truma was done for Bavel, Madai, and Medinos HaRechokos. There clearly was, we know this, but I'm saying we have a Mishnah that points to this. There clearly was a Jewish community in Bavel during Bayit Sheni. Meaning after the Korban Bayit Sheni, we understand the Jews went to Bavel. But the truth of the matter is that the Jewish Babylonian community was in existence from the first exile, between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, all the way through Bayis Sheni, as is evident from our Mishnah. Shabbos Rami Gamliel, Ilo Shnei Kirayim V'tar Me'echad Mehem Al Chaveru Shema Lo Pater Chaveru. So the Gemara asks the question. I know the Gemara is not articulating the question in a super clear fashion, but basically here's the Gemara's question. What's the point? Well, what is Rami Gamliel doing? Meaning, let's go back to the regular halachas of Trumas and Maisras. I have two piles of grain. I take Truma from this pile, and in my mind I say, this Truma that I'm taking from this pile is going to apply to this pile and to the pile right next to it. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of Truma? Yes. Are both piles now Nitram? Have they been taken care of? The answer is yes. So, Gemara is basically asking Rabbi Gamliel, what did you gain from all this? So you're standing there at the entrance of the Lishka. You now know that your coin made it into the bucket. So what? The people whose coin didn't make it into the bucket, they also fulfill the mitzvah. So what's the point? So the Gemara answer, Gemara says it's a psychological, it's psychologically pleasing to him. Nachas ruach makes him feel better. In other words, it's so interesting. Meaning, basically, the Gemara says there is no halachic advantage that he has over others. It just makes him feel better, so that's why he does it. Okay. Tanishama tesa katablos nasu kulam shirayim. The Brisa says that you remove the mats. If you remove the mats, they all become shirayim. So, which at the end of the year, which is a good thing, meaning because it's true. If it's done before the second truma was done or before the third truma is done, so then you're going to have problems. Then you're going to have issues. Tanish shlishis hi haisa ashir shibakulam. Which of the investments, which one of the collections is the best collection? The Gemara says the last one. The last one was the best collection. Because you remember what we learned earlier in the Masechta. The people who were shipping the shkalim from far out, what do? They combined it and they transferred it into gold coins, what we call darkonos. So those gold coins made up really the third collection of the gizbar of the Beis Hamikdash. That was the best. The Gemara said, "Well, I don't know. Best is not the right word, huh?"
Also timing.
Right, because in a time when maybe cash flow may be an issue, right? Right. So Haisa Ashir Shibakula. Right, I didn't mean the best, but it was the wealthiest of them all. So Shayusham Istray Shal Zahav Darkana Shal Zahav, the Gemara says, because he had a lot of gold coins. Tini Tarmas Rishon Al Shem Eretz Yisrael Shem Ulasham Kol Yisrael Shnia L'Shem Krachim Mekafin L'Shem Kol Yisrael Ve'ashlishis L'Shem Bavol Madel L'Shem Medina Sarachokos L'Shem Kol Yisrael. So the Bryce over here basically said the same thing as our Mishnah. I guess the only point that that we can note, I mean, I'm sure we can note a lot of points, is that you didn't, when you did the Truma, even though you know the money came principally from people that were proximate to Yerushalayim, you didn't just do the Truma on behalf of them. You did the Truma on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. It just happens to be that, practically speaking, you knew that the money came from the proximate cities. Tini, we learned in another brisa, natam and rishon alpha pishesh bir rishon, natam and ashniya, natam and ashniya, alpha pishesh bishniya, natam and ashlishis. Now we're talking about the buckets. Remember, there were three buckets with every withdrawal, right? There were three withdrawals a year, and each withdrawal was done with three buckets. And you remember, in the previous Mishnah, we labeled each bucket alpha, beta, gimel, or alpha, beta, gamma. What here the brisa is instructing us that we should do is that, look, that money in the buckets are going to be used to buy the carbon. Don't wait until the first bucket is depleted to move on to the second bucket. As the first bucket now is getting low, move on to the second bucket. As the second bucket is getting low, move on to the third bucket. You wanted to try to make sure that you used monies from all three buckets. I'm not sure why. There's no source that the Gemara gives us for this, but the Gemara says, but that's what you should do. That's how the CFO of the Beis Hamikdash should make sure to be spending the money, making sure that monies that were collected in each bucket is used. So, b'shnia nitam and shlishis shama shlishis chosel shnia. Now, Once the third bucket is depleted, go back to the second. Shamashniya chozo rishona. Once the second bucket is depleted, go back to the first. Shamush shloshtan. Now, what if all three buckets are depleted? So now, obviously, by the way they worked it out, the way they orchestrated it, I'm sure that generally speaking, in a regular year, the buckets were enough to buy karbanos for the whole year. You know how many karbanos are going to be brought. Meaning the karbanos is a fixed number in terms of karbanos. But of course, it's a market issue. So you don't know the cost of each one of the karbanos. But in terms of the number of karbanos, we know. So generally speaking, one could easily argue that they had a general idea of how much money they're going to need. So projecting the cost is not that difficult, but fluctuation in price could definitely hurt them in terms of their projections. So chozer v'sholkel. So then go back and do another collection. Rabbi Meir Omer, meaning, by the way, right? Meaning you can't go back to the lishka. Why can't, even though there are coins all over in the room of the lishka? Why can't you go back to the lishka? Because as we pointed out, once the truma's done, the status of the remaining coins is what's called shayare halishka, have a lower level status of coin and cannot be used for karbon. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. And so therefore, if the money's been depleted, so you have to go back, you have to take shekel again. Now, not clear from whom, who, in other words, right, an assessment, not clear. Rabbi Meir Omer Chozer L'Shirayim She. Rabbi Meir says no. Go back to the chamber. Go back to the lishka. Take the money from the lishka. Now this is Rabbi Meir being consistent. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer Mo'alim B'Shirayim Shema Yitzarchu Lahem B'Sof. Rabbi Meir says that no. Even after the truma was done, the coins left in the lishka still have kedushas haguf status and can be used towards the karban. V'chein Ayar Pinchas Ben Yair Omer. Now, Gemara is going to take us on an exceptional tangent from here until the end of the parak. And that is the following. The Braitha of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So first of all, why are we quoting it now? So the simple answer would be because the Gemara on the previous summit told us that we have to be free and clear of any type of chait and even perception of chait. So now at this point in time, we get to quote the Braitha of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. What's the price of Rav Pinchas ben Yair? So we know it from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf, quotes this price in its totality. What you really could be spending a long time doing, we're not going to do it, unfortunately, is compare the way the Gemara quotes the price over here versus the way the Gemara quotes the price in Avodah Zarah. Why do we know this Braisa? Even if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, you know what I'm talking about. We all know the Braisa. Why do we all know the Braisa? Because this Braisa is the outline of Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, a classic Musar work that was written by Rav Chaim Lifsato. So he wrote a number of very important works. So one of the works that he wrote was what's called Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, how they translate into English? The Path of the Just. So he basically, with this Bryce in mind, takes a step by step in terms of how to keep bettering and improving ourselves. It's one of the classic Musa works. And so the Gemara, it's all based on the Bryce of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Right? Fine. I'm going to go through it quickly. I apologize. I know I'm going to go through it quickly. But in other words, here in the way it's presented in the Yerushalmi, it's a 10-step process. Okay? In the Bavli, in Avodah Zarah, oh, I don't know the exact number. It's more. It's more than 10. 15? Okay. I shouldn't have said a number. I'm not sure. But here it's a 10-step process. So, V'chein Ayar Pinchas Ben Yair Omer. Zriz Mevilidei Nekios. Being diligent. Right? Fast. Quick. Moving. So that'll lead to Nekios. Nekios is cleanliness. Now, could be physical cleanliness, but if you look at the Karban Eida, it talks about spiritual cleanliness. Nikias Meveli Di Tahara leads to Tahara. And again, a lot more time should be devoted to this, because really, we need a good understanding of what's the difference between Naki versus Tahara, and Obviously, that requires more analysis. So I highly recommend Masil Sisharim. So Nikias Mevila De Tahara, Tahara Mevila De Kedusha leads to sanctity, Kedusha Mevila De Anava, leading to humility, Anava Mevila De Yeres Chait, leading to fear of sin, not the simple fear of sin of, oh, I better not do that, I'm going to get punished, but fear of sin over here is a higher level, Yeres Aromimus, Yeres Chait Mevila De Chasidus, it leads to being pious, Chasidus Mevila De Ruch HaKodesh, leading eventually to Ruch HaKodesh, and Ruch HaKodesh Mevila De Tchias HaMesim, leading to Tchias HaMesim, and Tchias HaMesim Mevila De Aliyah, which leads to the coming of Eliyahu. These last two are a little bit difficult to understand because we generally have in our mind the other way around, that Eliyahu is going to herald the coming of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. So a little bit difficult to understand how the Brice of Pinchas Ben Yair has first Tchias HaMesim and then the coming of Eliyahu. The Gemara here now at this point in time, that's the Brice. That's the 10-step process of perfection, of human perfection, according to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. What the Gemara is now going to do at this point in time is it's going to quote Psukim that just show us how we move from step 1 to step 2, from step 2 to step 3, and again, I'm going to go through it quickly with an apology. Zrizus mavila de nekiyas dechsi v'chila mechaper. Kila, he finishes, meaning he did the job, mechaper, it provides kapar. Nekiyas mavila de tahara dechsi v'chiper ala v'koin v'taheira. Okay, tahara mavila de akedusha dechsi v'tahara v'kadsho. Okay, again, these psukim just basically show us how you go from one step to the other. Kedusha mivili de'anava dechsev kiko amar ram and isa shochenad v'kadosh mo marom v'kadosh eshkon v'es dake v'shafel ruach. Okay, shafel ruach means someone who's lowly. Being an anav means that you realize that your worth is not that much. Although on another occasion I argued that's not what anava means, but that's another occasion. Mivili de, I'm sorry, anava mivili de yiras chait. Humility leads to Yiras Chait. Dechsiv Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. Yiras Chait Mevila De Chasidus. Dechsiv Vechesed Hashem Eolam Varolam. I'm sorry. Al Yirei Av. Those who fear Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chasidus Mevila De Ruach HaKodesh. Dechsiv Az Dibarta Bechazon Lechasadecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to whom? Speaks to the Chasidim. Ruach HaKodesh Mevila De Tchias HaMesim. Ruach HaKodesh leads to Tchias HaMesim. Dechsiv Nasat Ruchi Bachem. V'chi yisem, and you will live. In Tchias HaMesim, Mivili De Eliyahu Zechol HaTov. And finally, the last step is that Tchias HaMesim leads to Eliyahu. Dechsiv Hinei Anochi Sholech Lachem Es Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. Popular pasuk in Malachi, popularized by a song. Tanu b'shem Rabbi Meir, kol mi shekavu be'eretz Yisrael, medaber b'loshon hakodesh ve'ochel perosav b'tahara, ve'kor kriyas shma b'boker v'erev, yehi mevusar sheben olam habahu. Okay, Rabbi Meir says, here's the formula for Olam Haba, to be a Ben Olam Haba. You have Kavua, permanent residence in Eretz Yisrael, you speak Lashon HaKodesh, you eat fruits in a state of Tahara, you say Kriyat Shema in the morning and in the evening, so you are Mevusar, you're going to be reported, heralded, that you are a Ben Olam Haba. Hajolach Perach V'Shlosh HaPerachim, that is the end of the third parak. Okay, let's begin the fourth parak of Shkalim, because I really want to try to move to getting to where we need to be. Hatshuma mayu osim ba. So now again, we now know the process. Now let's talk about allocation. What's happening with the money? So the first thing the Mishnah is going to be describing is what's happening with the truma. We know the answer already, but the Mishnah is going to tell us. What happens with the truma, says the Mishnah, the truma again is the buckets that we, the withdrawal that we do three times a year, the money that are inside the buckets, labeled Aleph Beis Gimel. Hatshuma mayu osim ba. Lochim ba, tamid musaf in his game, homer v'shealech melechem apanim v'chol karbanos at sibor. I can say it very simply. Karban sibor. Okay? It's an interesting Mishnah because the Mishnah gives us like a list, a bunch of examples. The tamid, the musaf, the nesachim. Right? And it lists the karban sibor, and then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, all karban sibor. So, unclear why the Mishnah did that, but we get the basic idea. The money in the truma is used to buy carbon steelboard. Shomer sfichim b'shvias not limscharim mitchumas alishka. The guardsmen watching the sfiach. Okay, so let's say it again. We've established next year is a shmita year in Eretz Yisrael. So we run into a small problem. Well, unfortunately, we don't have the problem because we don't have a base of mikdash. But generally, you can run into a small problem, and that is that we need some of the growth that grows during the shmita year because when we get to the second day of Pesach, we need the barley that grows for the Karban HaOmer. When we get to Shavuos, we need the shtei alechem, we need the wheat that grows. Now, all grains that grow during the Shemitah year are ownerless. Who can get at it? Anybody. It's very possible that we're going to get to Shavuos and we're going to get to Pesach and we're not going to have the grains. So what do? We hire. We hire guardsmen. Now, generally speaking, you cannot do that during the Shemitah year. You cannot guard a field. But for the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash and for the purpose of the carbon, you can. And we're going to hire these people. We're going to pay them. And that way the grains that grow can be preserved for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Where do we pay these people? With the Truma Salishka money. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afarotzim is not Shamachinam. Now Rabbi Yossi says, you know, if somebody wants, he could volunteer for the job and not get paid. And he'll say to himself, what a great donation. Instead of donating my money, he may not have, I'll donate my time. I will serve as a guard. And I will watch the grains for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Amru lo, now that's very nice. And the Chachamim said, but no, we don't agree. Afata omer she'en bayin ela mishal tzibor. Because if you have an individual guarding it on his own, and he doesn't get paid, so what could he do? What may he do? He may take it. Now, not because he's going to take it for himself, but he may take it and then hand it over to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's no longer public. Meaning the whole idea of a carbon tzibor is that it has to be public. It has to be public carbon purchased from public money. And when an individual gives it, so it's no longer public. It's his. And you can't bring a carbon tzibor from an individual gift. So they say to Rav Yossi, we just simply disagree. That's it. Okay, let's stop. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the very top of the daf. Today's daf is daf yud. Okay. Two words into daf yud. Okay, I'm not really that proud of that. But in other words, okay, we'll make our way back. These dafim are getting shorter. I don't know if that's true, but let's say it. And I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to kind of hope that there's some truth to that as well. Okay, everyone have a great day.